The mind is a wonderful thing. The inventions of the imagination is the one thing that fuels the world as we know it now. Today, all forms of art comes in various forms of media, whether it's the written word, art, music, or film. I personally enjoy writing, creating a world of my own. I started this podcast in order to get my work out there for the people to hear. My lovely wife has helped me reshape my idea. And now not only do I want to get my art into the world, but others. Because what better form does the imagination take outside of the body but art? I live in the Fresno County area in California. If you happen to be in my area or live in my area and would like to come onto the show and talk about your work, I would be more than happy to have you. Just send an email to cvart.podcast@gmail.com, and I look forward to meeting you all and your imaginations. Here is a small portion of the book that I'm currently writing and hope to one day be able to finish. Please enjoy. The mist started to clear from his eyes and his head as he stared at the ceiling. Now what was I doing, he thought, as he reached for his phone. It's too dark to be mid-morning. His phone lit up his face. 5 a.m., red in the bright yellow against the dark blue. Why the hell am I awake? The voice in his head spoke. And the doorbell rang. He crawled out of bed to answer, flipping on the light next to him, walking down the small corridor to the door. Threw the door open, flipped on the lights, said, "Can I help you?" Oh, a woman's voice geared up like she was going into a pre-written script. Oh, her voice trailed as she realized all that was standing between her and this sleepy, naked man was a well-placed security door. Yes, he said. It's Sunday, 5 o'clock, and you need... Yes, reality seemed to snap back her. I'm Amy Teak, and I'm desperately in need of your services. What kind of services, he asked. Well, Mr. Barry, a friend of ours, referred me to you. She kept looking away from him. He grinned. Must be bad, Miss Teak. How soon? Amy, she smiled, looked down the street. And it could be all day. Okay, I'll do it. Do you know my fees? That, she pulled out a business card and stuck it in the door, trying hard not to look at him, won't be a problem. He smiled at the situation. Let me put something on, and I'll be right over. Thank you. Please dress responsibly, she said, walking away. He closed the door. She met a man and two older women who were out giving out Bibles and pointed to the door. She got into the car, rolled down the windows, just in time to hear the screams of horror and shock, laughing as she drove off. Approximately 8:30 a.m., a booth with an arm blocked James's path as they checked his ID. We were expecting you sooner, sir, the heavily armed security guard said as he waved at the booth. I got held up by unexpected company, James said, putting away his ID. The guard looked puzzled. On a Sunday morning? Seems, smiling more to himself, that people are getting pointed in my direction a lot today. Huh. Well, good luck, he said, backing up and waving him in. Now he was worried. Good luck? Does everyone here know what's happening? Realizing the guard was a military, or at least former military, he got a feeling. Pulling up to the large glass and steel building, a valet met his van. Sir, they are expecting you inside, the young man said as he took his keys. I will park this till I'm told you're taking the job, or otherwise. James started to feel out of place, with his jeans and Hawaiian shirt. Walking in, Amy Teague met him, dressed in the security guards. Amy, you didn't have to get changed. Just for me, he joked, noting the muscle following her, as well as the fact that everyone was dressed the same. James, her grin widened, you didn't have to get dressed just for me. They stared at each other for a moment. Nice military outfit. What gave it away? The 9mm on the valet. Good eye. Am I under arrest? No, we need your cooperation. James noticed one of her guards shifted. Don't, James told him. Don't what, she eyed him. Your man is shifting. Must be bad or time-sensitive. Quick, maybe when this is done, we'll get a drink. He smiled. Nah, had a nice cup of coffee with some parishioners, though. How'd you get out of that one? I told them I was a nudist. She tried to hide a smile and then pushed a button on her earpiece. You pass. This way. They all walk into a large, circular room, enclosed, with a glass plate in the middle of the floor. Okay, Amy smiled. Strip. What? Smiled back. Strip, she circled. Undress. Disrobe. Bear it all. Come on, we don't have all day. He started to take off his shirt. Once wasn't enough? Don't flatter yourself. This is for science. He was fitted with an outfit that felt soft and flexible on the inside, but looked and felt like hardened leather. Okay, Amy said once they got to the next room. Sit. Would you like me to beg to? She went to hit him, and he blocked. Sit, so we can get to the end of this and offer you a job. He sat. Screen on the computer told him, place your hand on the pad. There will be a sharp prick of the finger. Do not be alarmed. He did. So after the third scan, it took a small blood sample. The screen then read, place the helmet on your head and relax. Bringing the helmet from the left onto his head, he found it light, and then closing his eyes, he began meditating. He felt it had only been no time at all before there was a beep. Done, read on the screen with a smiley face. He smiled, taking the helmet off. Okay, Amy said. Record time. James sat in a comfortable chair in a conference room, waiting. Amy sat across from him, looking at the door. It seemed like ages before the door opened. A man in a blank officer's uniform walked in. So, I take it you have not been briefed? No? Good. He tossed a folder across the table at him. Let's begin. This has to be a joke. James stared at the file. The officer replied, the military is not known for their sense of humor. Obviously, exacerbated. First of my type, slash subtype? Yes, Amy said. And you're serious about the trip with possible return? Air quotes on possible. Yes, we are. Has anyone returned? Classified, the man said. Off the record, same question. Yes, Amy said. The officer shot her a look. Alive? Yes, the officer said. And the money is real. Oh, yeah. James picked up the pen and thought, put down the pen, broke the small scab on his finger and pressed it against the signature line. When do I leave? The officer looked at him in horror. Amy just laughed. Several days and hardened training later, he walked into a room several floors down, carrying a backpack, sporting a katana and a 9mm Beretta, with an old bracer on his right arm. The bracer was half the length of his forearm, made of a dull gray material with a thin gray-blue crystal wrapped around the center. Looking around, he found Amy Teague. Commander, he said. She raised a finger. No, it's good to hear from you. Carry on as you see fit. CT, out. She smiled at him. Good news. You're clear for takeoff. Ha! He feigned amusement. Funny. They walked to the center of the room. You sure this isn't going to end up killing me? The trip or the mission? Slight panic settled in. Both? She realized he wasn't kidding. The trip won't. I can't guarantee the mission won't, at least at this time. A panel on the floor opened, and a large granite stone slab with green crystals running through it laid there. The crystals sparkled and lit up at different points. Okay, he said to no one in particular, and stepped out onto the pad. He closed his eyes hard, scrunched up his face, felt nothing. So he opened his eyes. He was still in the launch chamber. Ha ha. He was happy and turned to Commander Teague. Grinned back at him. Must be busted. Her grin widened. Launch! She yelled as she hit a red plunger, and the world swam before his eyes. When his vision stopped swimming seconds later, the light was dimmer and moved, flickering against stone. It took him to realize that he was no longer in the control room. Then a sound of orders and thumping against a wooden door to the right and slightly behind. There were several people in armor, dark cloaks, trying desperately to hold the door up. An older man was near the bottom of the steps yelling. James took a deep breath and popped his ears. Hold the door, the old man was yelling. till the great warrior arrives. James was impressed with how the men fiercely held off the people or whatever was on the other side of the door. If it was whatever, he really didn't want to know. "Excuse me," James said loudly and realized that it was a big mistake as he had diverted everyone's attention away from the door. There was an explosion, blew the door in, scattered the soldiers. He, like every other living thing in the room, was confused and blinded by the smoke. "I told you too much," a deep voice said. "Secure the injured," a young woman's voice said politely. "Find the warrior and escort him to me." "No!" The dust had started to settle to see the old man was standing, sword drawn. "This ends." He spotted four figures in the doorway. The largest drew his sword also. "As you wish." James reacted a moment before and placed himself just between the two, blocking the older's upward slash with the sword and the downward with the bracer. "Lucky me," he thought. The younger sprang back, and James moved into his spot, pointing the gun at the floor and the sword at the older. "Now, will everyone be so kind as to disarm?" James asked. The sword to his left dropped, clattered, but the four didn't move. He saw one shift nervously and fired into the wall next to the girl. The stone exploded. "Next one kills." The three behind the knight looked shaken and disarmed. The knight didn't move. James cocked the hammer back. They stared at each other. "Disarm, or I will kneecap you and then kill the girl." He felt the older start to move and twisted the sword, pointing at him. "Don't pick it back up," James said coldly. The knight growled. "Frederick," the young man said, "what were you just saying about using too much power?" The knight slumped and started tossing weapons off to the sides, and then backed up. James sheathed the sword, but held on to the gun. "Now, there are no weapons involved, but mind, tend to the wounded, please." The young girl, like she was going to protest. "Talk after." A couple hours later, he was sitting at the high point in the room near the transporter stone. He watched as the last of the wounded were being tended to. The knight and two male comrades were putting the last of the bandages on. The older and younger were sitting on opposite walls, looking beaten. He sipped his water. "Well, now what to do," he thought. "I guess information is always vital," Amy's voice invaded into his brain. "Even little things are important. You have above average observational skills. Use them." "Okay." So the older man and five soldiers. The knight, the archer, mage, and the girl. Check the girl. The old man are leaders. Or key pieces, at least. The knight is smart, but doesn't use it in a fight. The archer is practical under stress. The mage uses too much power. Okay, old man is willing to fight, but only as a last resort. His men must fall first, of course. Great. Several hours, and much less info than I should have. I looked around and started noting things. Medieval stone, mage, archer, knight, armor, 11th, 12th century advanced, swords, European in style, clothing, is well tailored, same color, some color, use of dyes, looks like human, talk, scratch that, speak English, or whatever they call it here. He was looking around, took another sip and realized he was being observed by the girl. Taking a small bottle, he poured some water into it and tossed it to her. James swallowed a pill and then came down to the ground to get more information that he needed. "Alright, so can we all sit down and tell me what in the name of all the sci-fi gods is going on?" "Sci-fi gods?" the thinning man said. "Is that who you pray to?" "No," James smiled, "just some thing I've read in a book once, but I think we need to have a sit down and get a few things straightened out." He got them all to finally sit down. Sitting around, James began. I'll start. Introductions. My name is James. I'm new here in town, sarcastically. And who wants to share next? Great warrior, the old man spoke. I am King Kelimar of Rumolay. Just James, he said, your majesty, pointing to the knight. You are Frederick Ostrich, a knight of Dimateur. The knight placed his hand to his heart and bowed. James mimicked in respect. The archer spoke next. Kallus Chimer, charmed. The young man's left hand fist, two fingers, bowed to forehead, splitting his face. James copied best he could. Damie Branchheart, defender of Pokath. He simply nodded. James' attention shifted to the girl. She looked petrified. Miss, you are? She shot him a mean look and then recoiled on the look at James' face. Posture slumped. I apologize, great. James, her face softened and saddened. My name is Tiris Kelimar, Princess of Dimateur. Oh! James's inner voice said out loud and then finished. Brother, sister, cousins? The king sighed, daughter. The knight growled. Not if your assassin had finished the job. I state again, seeming bored of the same conversation. I did not send an assassin after my own daughter. And then louder, if you would listen to reason, why would I kill my own daughter? Sometimes the most logical reasons no one knows of, Damie spoke. Branchheart, the king glared. I will not live forever. My daughter has proven more than once that she can rule. Father, the girl spoke, you did nothing to find the persons responsible, and then tried to place me under house arrest. I, the older faltered and then hung his head. Okay. Mistakes were made. People got hurt and worse, but James threw up a hand in frustration. Life always moves forward, even when you don't. So, can we, for the time being, call a truce? Draw up paperwork tomorrow? Paperwork. Kallus raised an eyebrow. Written treaty, James said. Yes, was whispered from many lips. They got up and tended to things for the night. James moved to the corner and slept soundlessly, hoping for a better day. So I'm going to stop there and leave you with this. If you have any comments, questions, if my voice is too monotone, if I'm not edgy enough, please leave your comments. I don't necessarily know that it will change anything up. This may not even be the story that I work on next time. But for now, this is where I'm at in the story. I have plenty of pages written after that. But again, it's a work in progress. It's not meant to be complete yet. So I'm reading this to you as a way to say, hey, you know, I'm looking for some feedback. I guess take that with you. I hope you guys have wonderful days ahead. And I hope to post another one next week. We'll see how things go. Till then, my name is Jonathan Sturgeon, and this is my podcast. The next morning, James woke to find Kallus staring at him oddly. James rose, popped several joints. Kallus walked over to him during the process. You did not fear that we would kill you in your sleep? There's a truce, James says, getting into the pack. Ah, he was observed. In that case, you were missed at camp. James pulled out a pill and swallowed. What's the ah for? Kallus smiled knowingly. You, a man much like ourselves, from another world paradigm, are here to save us. James smiled. And? You are a fool, Kallus shrugged. Or a genius. You can't be both. James straightened up. Why? Why what? Why can't I be both? It's not possible. James laughed. What's so funny? Where I'm from, there are people who can't take care of themselves, but can do complex math and science. And others who can deal with the real world things, but can't read or write so much. So, yes, you can be both. Which are you? I won't know till I'm dead. Even then, your sci-fi gods will be the judge. They sat outside this time, the air fresh and lively. Two tables had been set up, one small, a thin man wrote feverishly, the other held eight. The eight talked, treaty terms, at a rapid pace. Give and take seemed to be fast, and almost as if it had been done before. Damie looked at James. Standard treaty stuff. Soon we'll get to the hard talks. Few minutes more, then the scribe called for a break. James went to his pack and started to get a drink, when he felt a presence. He spun, preparing to draw. Found the princess standing close. My apologies, James said. No, Tyra's eyes dropped to the ground. I must speak with you. Regarding? An eyebrow went up. She shifted uncomfortably. Never mind, she started to walk away. James grabbed her hand. We got a little time, so speak your mind, princess. She turned and looked at his hand on hers. To speak my mind to the warrior is it, James said, letting her go, isn't going to break me. Are you this world's savior? Not sure. Are you the great warrior? It's possible, but I claim no such title. Her face got angry and even stomped her foot. So you know nothing? No, I know plenty. It's just not to the questions you're asking. Oh, her whole body tensed. Those aren't answers. You're avoiding answering. Questions I don't have answers to. James interrupted. I don't know if I can save this world. He moved close to her and placed a hand on her shoulder. Or a kingdom. I make no claims on being this great warrior, and no one worth the title will lay claim to it either, or should, at least. Her body relaxed. I'm flesh and blood, no different than you. I will do the best I can, and no one can ask more than that. James felt it coming and blocked an attack. The knight stood there, sword drawn, preparing another strike. Hands off, Princess Tyrus. Each word was a breath. Stand down, Tyrus was suddenly in front of him. James felt it, people reaching for weapons. Quickly his eyes twitched around. All eyes were on Frederick. He felt an arrow being knocked behind him and shook his head. Frederick, I am not bound to you, the princess said quietly. There are things, like a touch, that are just as protective as a shield. He touched me, and I felt his words ring true. Now, before there are things that can't be taken back, stand down. Frederick finally sheathed the sword and skulked away. She turned to James, who had moved a little to the left. But the two were very close. Thank you for letting me handle this. It's been getting worse as time goes on. James shrugged, but before he could speak, you blocked my shot. The archer walked up behind them. If he had rushed, I would have moved and you would have had your shot. You wouldn't have seen it until it was too late, James said, not turning around. The princess looked shocked. The archer laughed and walked off. I leave it, princess. James smiled and went to get his pack. Day's half over. No one died. Thank you for standing up for me. She blinked at him. Just remember, getting a pill. Still plenty of daylight left.